The following audio is from Life Connection Church. We exist to glorify God through transformed lives by the power of the gospel. For more information about Life Connection Church, visit www.lifeconnectionkc.org.
Good morning, Life Connection. Good morning. And a quick third shout out to the dads in the room. Happy Father's Day. We're glad that you guys are here with us celebrating today as we start a new series that we have titled The Life of a Disciple. And what we're going to do is for the next 5 weeks, we're going to look at the core values of Life Connection Church. And we're going to ask and think about what does it look like and how do these connect to living as a disciple of Jesus. At Life Connection Church, it is our vision that in everything we do, that in every way we serve, in every environment that we have, that we would glorify God by seeing lives transformed through the power of the gospel. By living as a community of disciples on Jesus' mission, we believe that God will not only continue to change and transform our own lives as we believe more in the gospel of Jesus Christ and know Him more intimately and deeply, but that He will begin to do that transformation in the lives of others as well. That they will hear and be invited to join us on this journey as disciples of Jesus, because they'll get to experience and hear and know of the truth, the beauty, and the generosity of God that's been poured out into our hearts and lives and then begins to flow out of us into the lives and hearts of those around us. It's as we speak His word, as His spirit moves, and as we live as His people, that this world around us will be transformed as we live as His disciples. It's not an accident that we hold these values of gospel and community and mission. Those are the three core values that we would say we have as a church: gospel, community, and mission. And it's not an accident that we hold these values with such conviction, that they are a part of the language that we use, that they are a part of the things we talk about, and that embed themselves in the life of the things that we do. And it's not because they're trendy, though these words tend to be trendy in the church world right now. And it's not because they're some part of a really cool church growth strategy, though I do believe that if you believe in the gospel, that if we live as His people in community and we are on His mission, His church will grow. But it's not about those things. We hold these values as the core values of our church because we think they are essential, that they are vital to living as a disciple of Jesus. And if we lose sight of these, or if we begin to disconnect them from our life, and we begin to hold other things as more central, as more pertinent to our life in Christ, then we will begin to stray and drift away from Him. That it's no longer about then His life and His mission and His people. And so this loss of focus will cause us to drift then into a life that God does not intend for His people to live. We have to see the importance of the gospel, of Christ's people in the church, of His mission. And we have to cling to them if we want to truly live as disciples of Jesus. And so for the next few weeks, we're going to look at what the Scriptures have to say about these values and how they connect to our lives and to our rhythms as a church. And we're going to bookend these values of gospel, community, and mission with two things. We're going to begin this morning by looking at Christ, getting some clarity about the one that we are seeking to be a disciple of, to live in light of, to follow in all that we do. And we'll end our series by looking at the joy, the fruit and joy that comes from living for Christ as His disciples. And so we're going to be in John 14 today. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, you are welcome to do so. The verses are going to be on the screen. But we're going to look at John 14 and think upon this, the way of a disciple, the way a disciple is meant to go, who they are meant to follow in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So would you stand with me this morning as we read from God's Word? And I'm going to ask this morning as we read from God's Word, Jesus is going to call His disciples to believe over and over and over again through these verses. To believe in Him, because it is through believing in Him that they will then believe and know the Father. And so as we read these words this morning, it's been my prayer, and I'm going to ask this of you guys. Do we believe these words to be true? Do we believe Jesus is who he says he is as we read these words this morning? So let me read this, and would you follow along with me on the screens? Jesus says this to his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. And you know the way to where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." Let's pray. Father, we ask that these words would be words we consider this morning. That this call from Christ to believe, this challenge to his disciples to ask, "Who do you think that I am, really?" Would it be something that we wrestle with this morning and truly ask of our hearts and our minds and our lives? Because, Father, we want to know you. We want to live with you. And so help us to see Jesus for who he is, to trust him and to follow him. And I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. You guys can be seated. So I had someone recently ask me, if you had all the money in the world and you had all the opportunity then to do what you wanted, what would you do with your life? What would be different about how you live or what you're doing? It was a really difficult question for me to answer in the moment. I was just in a conversation because at the heart of this question is this reality of what do we think is most important to us? If I had every path I could choose at some level to take in my life, what is the path I am going to choose to follow and to take? It's interesting when you begin to consider that even one degree of a turn at any given point in a journey can put you miles off your course over the long run and keep you from getting to the destination that you actually desire to get to. When you think about firing an arrow and hitting a bullseye, even just 50 yards away to the back of the room, the difference between hitting the bullseye and not hitting the bullseye is not a matter of feet, but a matter of millimeters from where the arrow takes off. And so if we're going to look at our lives and ask, which path am I going to take to get what my heart truly desires, what I truly find important and what I long for, the question becomes this morning, is it pointed directly towards a life with God or not? Is he the aim of my heart and my life? Or is it even just a little bit off? Are my desires and the things I long for and the destination I am shooting for with my life just a little bit different than God? Do I have just maybe, it's God and just some more hopes and dreams? Some other things I might long for to get? Because when our life is the distance with which we are measuring, and this distance that we're having to measure things against and walk through, the aiming that we're having to give, it comes with next to no margin all of a sudden. At its root, what it means to be a disciple is to be a follower. To follow someone or something to wherever they are leading. So maybe to rephrase the question that was asked to me, what then are you a disciple of? What are you following after? Where's the destination you are hoping to get to in this life? Because what is of such importance that you would follow it wherever it might lead? When we think of the disciples in the Scriptures, they were these men who followed rabbis or teachers of the day, who tried to explain and instill in their disciples the ways that they understood the Scriptures, what it looked like to live life for God. They had some level of wisdom and insight that these disciples would then follow these men and say, this is what it looks like to follow after God, to live for God, to understand what it looks like to do that. And it was a blessing of the day to say, may you be covered in the dust of your rabbi. May you be covered in the dust of the one you're following after, because you were following them so closely that you were getting covered in the dust that they were kicking up on the road behind them. That's how closely you were. So as we call ourselves disciples of Jesus, what we're saying is that we are followers of Jesus. When we say that's what we long to be, what we hope to do here at Life Connection Church is to be disciples of Jesus that make more disciples of Jesus. We're saying that we follow after Him. Where He goes, I'm going. What He thinks about, the way He understands God and God's Word and what's important in life and how I'm supposed to live, those are the things that I'm going to do. Those are the things I'm going to give my life to. And I'm going to do it in such a way, so closely to Him, that in everything He does, I'm getting covered in the dust of Jesus. I see Him moving and working, and I'm there with Him, moving and working, getting covered in the dust that He's kicking up. We believe Him when He says that this path that we walk towards God, Jesus says, is a narrow path. And it's a hard path to follow that leads to life with God. So we stick close to Him, so that we don't fall off the path, so that we don't get caught up going a different direction in a different way, away from the path. We cling to Jesus and His words because we believe that He will not lead us even one step away from that path towards God. To follow Jesus, then, is the only way to know the Father and live with Him forever. What we see this morning in the text is this, that a disciple follows Jesus to the Father. A disciple follows Jesus to the Father. And Jesus is really clear about this is where He's headed. This is what He tells His disciples, right? Thomas is like, we don't know where you're going, Jesus. I don't know what you're talking about. You're headed off somewhere and I don't understand. And Jesus very clearly says, you know where I'm going. I'm going to be with the Father. I am seeking to be with Him, to be about Him, to follow His work, to be about glorifying Him. And this is why then we follow Jesus. We want the Father. We want a life with God. This Christian life that we live isn't about living morally. It isn't about helping and serving people first and foremost. It isn't about being religious. It isn't about coming to church. It isn't about being this pious, Bible-knowing, understanding person. When Jesus calls disciples to believe in Him, to follow Him, it's because He wants them to be with the Father. That's the goal of the Christian life, is to be in life with God the Father, to know Him and to live with Him, to experience His love and His grace, to taste and see that He is good. And I think this is why the disciples are so confused when Jesus tells them that He's going away. He's been their rabbi. They've been following Him because Peter tells him just a few chapters earlier in John, you have the words of eternal life. Where else am I going to go? This is what I long for, is a life forever with God. So you're going away. I don't understand what's going on. And so Jesus begins chapter 14 here by comforting His disciples. Let not your hearts be troubled, he says. The plan and the path, the destination, these things have not changed. It is only by following him that they will get to enjoy the presence of the Father. And this is the first thing that we see this morning, that following Jesus leads to the presence of the Father. Jesus tells them there in verse 6, this is probably one of the most well-known, most quoted verses, right? I am the way, he says, the truth and the life. To what? No one comes to the Father except through me. And he continues in verse 7 and he says, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. And then in verse 9, he continues this. He says, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Here at Life Connection Church, we are all about Jesus Christ. We sing to him. We study on our gospel community nights right now. We're studying about him from the gospels and from his word. We take communion every week in remembrance of Jesus because it is only through Jesus that we get to be with and know the Father. It's funny, this is what Alex and Laura just quoted up here. 2 Corinthians 4:4 talks about this reality that Satan has been working to blind the minds of unbelievers, to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That is the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ that Satan is trying to keep people from seeing. They don't want people to know that Jesus can bring them to God. That's what Satan and his demons are against. They don't want anybody to know that you can come to know and have and experience a relationship in the presence of God Almighty through Jesus Christ. It isn't by doing good things. It isn't by caring for others, working hard, being moral, that we will know and enjoy the presence of God. It is through faith that we come to God through Christ. It's only through believing in Jesus, by following him and giving our entire life to him, that we will get to know then the steadfast love of God that lasts forever. That we will get to know his faithfulness that extends then to the sky. And that doesn't mean that we don't do good things or live a godly life, but we do these things as a result of coming to God through Christ in response to what Christ has done for us in bringing us to the Father. When we understand and believe that there is no other way to our gloriously holy, perfect God than through faith in the death of Jesus Christ in our place for our sins. It's only when we understand that we get to enter into this life with God. To be a disciple is to stop trying to figure out how to get to God by ourselves, by our own strength and by our own efforts, but instead to trust in Jesus and him alone. What he has done, what he has promised he is going to do. Coming into the presence of God, it's not like following GPS. If you turn on your GPS and you're headed somewhere a distance away and there's a wreck, it oftentimes reroutes you, right? Or we were on a backpacking trip a few years ago and we could not figure out how to get where we needed to be. So we just straight across what we needed to do to get there. You don't get to do that when it comes to following Jesus. It's not like GPS. There's not a rerouting to get to God. Jesus says in John 10, just a few chapters before John 14, he says that only thieves and robbers try to jump the fence and get into the kingdom outside of him. That he is the gate through which we must enter into this life with God and in his presence, knowing him, loving him, enjoying him. Without Jesus, all of the other values we hold, right? When we talk about the gospel, if there is no Jesus, the gospel stops being good news because we don't need just another good example of what it looks like to live this life. We need somebody to get us to God, to take care of our sins, to atone for the things that we have done before a holy God. Community, at best, becomes this activist group with maybe some other purpose. Something else to unite around, someone else to unite around, but we are not a people identified by or with God. Because Jesus is the only way to get there. And so community becomes this thing about doing maybe nice things or good things for the community, but it's not about the community that is described in the Scriptures. Without Christ, the mission that we are on as a church at most is a self-help program that's destined to fail. You can make yourself better. Things can get better. All you have to do is do this thing. Live this way. And things will be better. That mission is destined to fail. All of who we are, what we believe, what we do, rest in the person and the work of Jesus Christ. Of what He did in dying on the cross and raising from the grave. That's why we agree with Paul when he says in 1 Corinthians 2:2, he tells the church there that he sought to know nothing among them except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Our sermons center around Jesus. Our gospel communities focus on His work in our lives. Our discipleship, our evangelism, our leadership philosophy, every single thing is about Jesus because He is the only way that we are going to get to be with God. That's it. No other way. No other person, no other means. It is through Jesus Christ and Him alone because He is the image of the invisible God. He came to show us who the Father was. What it looked like to be with Him. What it looked like to be loved by Him. To know Him. In Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father. Full of grace and truth. You want to know who God is. If you want to live in His presence. If you want to experience God the Father. It is only through Jesus Christ. We come to Him through Christ by following Him. The Father's love, His comfort, His peace, they're only found in following Jesus. And so Jesus continues then encouraging His disciples to not stop following Him or believing in Him because it is only by believing in Him and following Him that we will be able to also experience the Father's power and the life they live and the works they do. Read again in verse 10 with me. Jesus says, "Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I don't speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does His works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father." He's reminding His disciples as they step forward in this life of what it looks like to follow and trust after Him, that the works that He did, the words that He spoke, the miracles He performed were not by His own power and His own authority, but they were about the Father. They were the Father's words. They were the Father's power. They were about the Father's authority. It is for the glory of God and His Father's fame that Jesus was living this kind of life, doing these kinds of things. And they, and now we, on this side of Christ's resurrection, are filled then with this same power and with greater clarity. What Jesus is saying here when He talks about these greater works that we're going to do is kind of a twofold thing. When He's talking about this greater things that we're going to do, it's not that we are going to die in the place for people's sins and raise from the dead. I don't think there's a greater work to be done there and in that way. That's not what Jesus is getting at, I don't believe. But we get to do this work now as His disciples, knowing those things are true. We know Jesus is who He said He was. We know what He came to do and that God vindicated His death on the cross by raising Him from the dead 3 days later. We know what it means that Jesus came to save us and what it looks like for God's kingdom to truly come and be a presence in this world. Because while Jesus was ushering the kingdom into the world that He was in, it was still veiled. The disciples still had questions. They still didn't really understand what was going on. But we do. The Holy Spirit has come upon us that we might have greater amounts of clarity on what is going on. And so we come now with a greater conviction about what is happening in this world. We get to do a greater ministry in some ways because Christ has made it clear what He came to do. But secondly, Jesus' ministry was limited to where he could go and be as God in the flesh. The places he could go, the spaces he could be in, they were limited by the reality that he was a person in time, in space, in Jerusalem. But as disciples of Jesus, John talks about this, Jesus talks about it in the verses right after what we've read. We're given God's Spirit. Jesus' Spirit now fills us, empowers us, strengthens us. And that same power that Christ had by God's Spirit to do these works, to say these things on behalf of God the Father, by God's power, now dwells in us and works in us as God's Spirit empowers us and strengthens us. We're not halfway through a story waiting to figure out how it ends, or we're not looking at some kind of Cliff Notes version of the Bible and of the salvation story. We now are men and women who have experienced firsthand the life-changing power and presence of God Almighty as His Spirit dwells in us and sends us in then to go do the same works that Jesus did. That's what God's Spirit and being God's disciples has done in us. We have experienced this power, and now everything we do flows from this power. This means we teach and we serve in places like Kids Co. And it's not just about a lesson plan. It's not just about games. It's not just about following a curriculum. We do this with God's Spirit empowering our words and clarifying our convictions. Our kids, every week, as they go to their class, get to hear about Jesus and see Him at work through the crafts that we do, through the games that they play, through the songs they sing, because the Father's power is now working in us and through us as we live as disciples of Jesus in Kids Co. When we give our lives to Jesus and we die to our own strength and power, when we decide that He's the one we want to give our entire life to, He then fills us up. As we empty ourselves out of the things that we think are going to make us into the people we want to be, and we say, I want Jesus instead, He fills us up so that even in our serving, we serve in the strength that He supplies so that God the Father might be glorified. It's all coming from Him as we follow Him. And so we greet people who walk through our doors, not as just other people who want to be nice and say hello. We greet people as disciples of Jesus. We're actually welcoming them into the presence of God, because God's presence is with us. We don't just say hello and hope that they feel welcomed. We get to, as Christ welcomed us into God's presence, welcome them now into God's presence. We get to live as disciples of Jesus in a brand new way. We no longer do things just as random people, normal people. We are normal people filled with God, filled with His Spirit, filled with His power. And so we get to do these works now with God's presence with us, inviting people into that life with us. This is what it means to be doing greater works. Not a work that saves more people, but a work that comes with greater conviction and clarity and power, because God's Spirit is at work in us now. And it's the glory of God, this life that we were meant to live, imitating Jesus, living all of our life for the glory of the Father and by the power of the Father, that becomes the purpose then of our life. All of our life becomes about showing the surpassing greatness, the worth, the awe, the amazingness of our God, because this is God's purpose. In all things, everything becomes about this, because this is what God is about in everything. Verses 13 through 14, Jesus says, "Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it." I think we have to be careful here, right? This is not a blank check to ask God to do whatever you would like. This is not where $1 million comes from. This is not where we get to experience all the fun things we long for in this life and say, well, God, I prayed in Jesus' name, so you got to answer my prayer. That's what Jesus says, right? That's not what Christ is talking about here. When He's saying in His name, He's talking about that praying in a way that aligns with Jesus' life, His character, His purpose. When he's talking about his name, he's talking about how he's known, his reputation. It's like if you say somebody's name is mud, or it used to be a phrase, right, that their name is tarnished. You're saying that someone, something that somebody has done has ruined their reputation, ruined what people think of them. We now know the character of that person based on the things they've done. We know their name. When we follow Jesus, and we're living with Him, and we're acting like Him, and we're filled with His power, listening to Him, being covered in His dust, our prayers, what we long for, what we want to ask God to do, the desires of our heart, begin to look and align with what Christ wants as well. That's what Jesus is saying. That the things that Christ wants, when we pray the things in His name, as we follow Him as His disciples, those things become the things we want. Those become the things we long for. Those become the things we pray for. This is what Paul was promising in Romans 8:29. Then he says that he promises that we will be made into the image of Jesus. It's by believing in Jesus and giving our life to following Him that we begin to look like Him, act like Him, think like Him. His dreams and His desires become our own dreams and desires. And Jesus' life, His purpose, His desires, was that God the Father might be glorified. That's what He says. I'm here to glorify the name of my Father. I'm here to do these things for His sake. And so we were meant then to be declaring with the psalmist, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to Your name, Psalm 115:1, to Your name, God, be the glory. Isaiah 43:7, God is calling His children from the ends of the earth. Why? Because we were made and created for His glory, that people might know of who He is and what He has done. Pastor John Piper, if there's anybody that's going to talk about glorifying God and what that looks like, it's going to be John Piper, all right? I'm just going to tell you. That's the guy to go read about this. But he says the definition of glorifying is to feel and think and act in ways that reflect God's greatness, that make much of God, that give evidence to the supreme greatness of all His attributes and the all-satisfying beauty of His manifold perfections. It's what it means to glorify God, to make much of God in everything, that everything we do, everything we think, everything we feel, all of ourselves, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we would love God, that we would make much of God, that everybody would know that God is of surpassing worth, of surpassing greatness, and we believe that. Because we're disciples of Jesus, and this is what Jesus believed, and this is what Jesus thought, and this is what Jesus wanted. I just want to say, as awesome as it may be to be good at so many things, which I know we all know we are, like beating our kids at games, be it sports or the game of life, which I never let my kids win, at doing more push-ups than them, or pull-ups than them, or arm wrestling them, the way to truly be the best of dads is to show our kids that God is great. You want to know what it looks like to be a good dad? It's to show our kids that God is worth our lives. That He is worthy of all the glory, of all the honor, of all the praise. We need to take inventory of our lives as dads and ask the question, does my calendar reflect the glory of God? Does my energy, do my thoughts, does everything I do point to the fact that I am following Jesus as His disciple and making much of the Father and glorifying Him in everything I do? This is what stands at the heart of our sin. Is this reality of competing glories. Do I believe that the God the Father is worth giving my life to, or do I think something else is more worthy of that? Be it myself, my own pleasure, my own joys. Every sin we commit at its heart is something competing to say that it is greater than God. And so what an amazing opportunity we have this week in VBS. to tell kids and parents and families in our neighborhood that there is something better than their sin. That there is something greater, more worthy of our worship and our lives, worth dying for, worth giving up everything for, to show every single kid that comes out to these houses how amazing, how loving, how kind, how glorious is our Father God, who has saved us by sending His Son Jesus to die on the cross in our place for our sins, that we might know Him and know His presence and know His power. And know what it looks like to live a life of purpose with Him. That He is better than anything else this world has to offer. Nothing else will satisfy like Him. Nothing else can or ever will fill us with joy and purpose like living for Him in everything we do. That's what we're doing at VBS. That's why we have VBS, is we want people to know that that is true. That's what it means to live a life as a disciple of Jesus. To pick up our crosses because Jesus picked up His. To die to ourselves because our Savior emptied Himself, took the form of a servant, was born in the likeness of men, and was obedient to His own death. Even death, it says, on a cross. We must not seek to save our own life or make much of our own life, because in doing that, Jesus says, we will lose it. But we must seek to lose our life. To say that the life of Jesus is actually the one I want. The life of following Him, of giving my life to Him, of thinking like Him, of acting like Him, of loving Him. That is worth everything. Because I want to live my life with God. Because I want to know the Father. Because I want to experience what that was meant to be like. I was made for that. I want to know that. And I can only know that through Jesus. I want to know His unending love and His forgiveness given to me in Jesus. I long to experience His goodness and His grace. I want to know His justice and His righteousness because I want to be satisfied. I want to be filled up. I don't want to want anymore. We can find that in God. And so we must follow Jesus to the Father. It is only by being a disciple of Jesus that we will follow Him to the Father. So I want to say this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you realize that living your life for the glory of God, if we are to think about that question, the paths that I'm choosing to live my life on, that I am headed down, I want to ask, is it pointed towards this? Is the glory of God the Father, living life with Him, giving our everything to Him, our life's dream and ambition? If we were given all the money and opportunity in the world to live however you wanted, would it be for the Lord? Maybe you're finding this morning that that might not be the case. Maybe it was at one point. Maybe it has been, and you're finding yourself drifting. But you don't want that to be the case anymore. You want that to be different. You want to be changed. You want to live this transformed life that we say that we want to be about here at Life Connection Church. I want to invite you to come and follow Jesus. Follow Jesus. Know Jesus. Be with Jesus. Be covered in the dust of Jesus. Live like Jesus. I promise you that's where transformation will come. That is where we will find the satisfaction we're longing for. That's where we will find the things that will change our life, to give us purpose, to give us the power, to give us the presence of the Father. You can know and you can have this kind of life, a transformed life, but it is only found in following Jesus as His disciple to the Father. Let's pray. Father in heaven, holy, holy, holy is Your name. There is none like You. There is none greater than You. There is none better than You. No other thing is deserving of glory, of honor, and of praise but You and You alone. Father, I pray this morning that my own heart and the hearts of those in this room would long to be near to You to experience that glory. That's what we were made for. To know of Your beauty, of Your worth, how amazing you are, and to tell others of that, to live a life that reflects that, that lets everybody see that that is true. I do just ask for forgiveness in the ways, Father, that we seek to honor and glorify the things you have created rather than you. Would you help us to set our eyes this morning upon Jesus Christ? We believe and trust in your word that if we believe in him, we will know you, Father, that we will be near to you, that we will get to experience your presence and your goodness and your grace. And so help us to come to Jesus Christ, to look to him, to cling to him, to follow him, that we might get to know you and experience you as our Father. Lord, I pray that you would convict us of what this looks like, of this truth, and that you would help us in the days to come here at Life Connection Church and beyond to live as your disciples, to take your glory with us wherever we would go. That it wouldn't just be our lives that are transformed, but others. I pray all of this in the name of Jesus Christ, because this is what he longs for, because this is what he wants. And we know this because you vindicated him by bringing him back from the dead 3 days later. So this is how we know, as we pray these things, Father, that in Christ it is a yes and amen as we pray for this. Help us to be your disciples. Help us to live for your glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.